Amen. Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 onwards. James chapter 3, verse 13 onwards. The last few weeks, the Lord has been speaking to us about the God of peace, the God of grace, Almighty God, the characteristics of God, the six characteristics of God that we went through. Today, let us wait in the Lord's presence as we wait for the seventh characteristic of God, which is the God of unity. Now, as we clarify the term God of unity, we accept the doctrine of the Bible that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are separate persons, three persons, and we accept and acknowledge the existence and the manifestation of the Blessed Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. At the same time, even though God manifests Himself as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, God manifested Himself as the Father God up to the beginning of the New Testament. And starting from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, God manifests Himself as the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And then, from the book of Acts onwards, God manifests Himself as the third person in the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. And when we come back to the book of Revelation, again, God manifests Himself as God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So there are three in one, and one in three, and all three work in unity, because our God is a God of unity. And then God made man in His own image and added man to the family of God, to the Blessed Trinity. And in John 17, Jesus Christ explains it. Now, while we wait in the presence of the Lord for God to speak to us about the God of unity, let us read the book of James, 3rd chapter, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the only way we can understand these verses, James 3, verse 13 to 17, is if we lump that all, if we lump all these verses, three verses, into a bag called unity, then it begins to make sense. A person who is meek promotes unity. A person who wants to fight promotes division. So there are two things in this world: division and unity. Unity is promoted by meekness. What is meekness? When the brother of Moses, Aaron, and his sister Miriam tried to argue with Moses, Moses didn't say anything. Moses was quiet. He could have explained to Miriam and Aaron that he was called by God, and that these people were inferior, and so they had to listen to him. But not so Moses. He was a meek man, and God testified of Moses that he was the meekest in the world. Even so, Jesus Christ said, I am meek and lowly of heart. And the Bible tells us that the Father was pleased with Jesus because he cannot hear his voice in the street. Jesus Christ was a man of meekness. And the Bible tells us Not those who fight, but those who are meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Why is the word meek promoted so much in the Bible as characteristic of God? Because when a person is meek and wants to avoid a fight and a disagreement, not compromising on the word of God, but for the sake of unity, is meek, not to argue about silly, petty things, then he is promoting unity. So the Bible tells us in James chapter 3 verse 13 that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of unity. If you see leaders in the church, arrogant, talking about others in the church in their sermon, insulting the church, saying that I am the one who hears from God, all of you need to listen to me and bow down to me and worship me, putting themselves in the place of God, and do not treat the sheep with respect. As the Bible said, do not be lords over the flock, but be examples to the flock. Then, that is not from the Holy Spirit. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above, from God, is first meek. It is not arrogant. It is not proud. It is not haughty. And that promotes unity because God is a God of unity. In James 3:14, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Today, a lot of fights in churches and in homes and in society comes because of envy. People envy others. People are jealous at others. Saul was jealous at David because the sisters sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David the 10,000s. God did a wonderful work by the hand of David and slew giant Goliath. Otherwise, the children of Israel, including King Saul, would have been slain and would have been slaves and servants to the Philistines, which are otherwise are similar to the Palestinians that are trying to hurt Israel. But there are good Palestinian Christians who serve God, and we acknowledge them. So, strife, disunity, or division comes because of envy, jealousy. And jealousy is not from God. When Saul became jealous of David, an evil spirit came and possessed Saul. And he became worse and started trying to kill David. This kind of wisdom, where divisions are created in the church by the leadership of the church, is not from God. Being jealous, like a pastor becoming jealous of the congregation, people in leadership office becoming jealous of others, this jealousy does not come from God. It is not from the Holy Spirit. Being bitter against people. You know, some pastors, because of some of the problems that happen in the church, will start speaking it out in messages. Because they are bitter. They cannot forgive. Even though it is not the people's fault, yet the pastor is bitter against the people. The people are bitter against the pastor. And so this pain spasm cycle starts in the church, starts in home, starts in society, starts in the workplace. Bitterness against others promotes division. Forgiveness promotes unity. If we cannot forgive those who trespass against us, we cannot expect God to forgive. How do we know that we haven't forgiven? If it keeps coming in our mind, and when we go to give messages, we start talking about it. And we don't name the people, but we start talking about people because we've been given the microphone and the podium. Bitterness is against unity. Our God is a God of unity. We need to forgive others and promote gentleness, not bitterness. If we keep promoting bitterness in our heart, we will die of cancer, we will die of so many other problems, and we will even lose our soul, because Saul was bitter against David. There are many people in the Bible who could not forgive others, and because of that, they are spending eternity in hell. Jesus said, if you do not forgive others, your sins will not be forgiven. Envying and strife. You know, when people fight with each other, we think it's a physical fight, a verbal fight, but actually the fight starts in the hearts. When in your hearts you premeditate and you're angry with your brother and you have fight in your hearts with your brother, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Bible says, if you envy, you're jealous, you are bitter, you have strife in your heart, don't boast about it, because you're lying against the truth. You're saying you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, when actually your life is diametrically opposite to the truth. And then James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, where jealousy and fight is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now James 3:14-16 focuses on demonic spirits that try to infiltrate through society, that try to infiltrate the corporate environment, that try to infiltrate the home, and finally that try to infiltrate the church. Now James 3:17 talks about how the Holy Spirit acts, how the Holy Spirit behaves, how a person that is inhabited by the Holy Spirit will act, even as God, the Blessed Trinity, acts. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. A person that has the wisdom from God, the Holy Spirit from God, the Spirit of unity, will live a pure and holy life. He won't be going around watching junk movies, junk songs, and spending his time with the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He is living a pure life. Every place in his home is called holiness to the Lord. But the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that comes from God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Blessed Trinity that promotes unity in the church, unity in the family, unity in society, and unity everywhere, is first pure. For you shall know them by their fruit. Then peaceable. A person that promotes unity will seek peace. He won't be saying it's going to be my way or the highway. That's from the devil. A person that promotes unity will look at what is God's way. Not my way, but what is God's way. It is peaceable. He promotes peace. Not compromise, but peace. Gentle. Have you seen persons that are heady, hearted, heads, haughty, high-minded, arrogant? They don't respect anyone. And on the contrary, people who are gentle. Gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. A person who is haughty, heady, high-minded, arrogant, proud is not operating under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He may claim to have all the gifts of the Spirit, but he is nothing, according to 1 Corinthians 13, if he does not have the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a Tao. You know, if you make a sound or a clap or slight disturbance, the Tao will fly off. That's why the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with your arrogance and haughtiness and heady high-mindedness and pride, because the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He doesn't go around shouting at people. He doesn't go around arguing with people. He doesn't go around creating division, talking about people in his sermon, talking about other people, gossiping about the pastor behind the back, talking about the government, saying evil words about those in authority. The Bible says, respect the people that are in authority. Don't compromise, but don't be gossiping about them. It is gentle. Sometimes when the people of God get together, they waste so much time talking about other pastors. That's none of your business. He is a man. He has been called by God, and he will be answerable to his master who called him. The Spirit of God is gentle, easy to be entreated. You know, when there is division and disunity, and if you go try to the person that is the source and the cause for trouble, or is the recipient of the problem, and try to go and tell him, you know, we need to get together, and he says, no, I don't want to have anything with you guys, then he is not easy to be entreated. That is demonic, that is not from the Holy Spirit. A person who has the Spirit of God, when you go to him and say, these are the problems we want to discuss, let's try to come up with solutions, he will be easy to be entreated. He will say, okay, I understand the faults in my life. You know, we are moving towards perfection, but we are not perfect. We all have dead spots in our rear view mirror. What is a dead spot? When you go in a car and you want to turn into the next lane, you have to look over your shoulder because you cannot trust the rear view mirror. Some people who are in ministry and who are in leadership think they know everything. Everyone has a dead spot in a rear view mirror. The Spirit of God is easy to be entreated. A person that will be willing to sit down and talk to you and come to a common ground based on the Word of God, for the sake of peace and unity, is operating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is easy to be entreated, full of mercy, merciful to others, and good fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, without partiality, not being partial to one group and creating groups, but being favorable and loving and kind, promoting integrity and without hypocrisy. The scribes and the Pharisees did not promote unity because they were hypocrites. They were preaching the Word of God, but all the time they were disobeying the Word of God. And that's why Jesus Christ called them whitewashed tombstones. Our God is a God of unity. Look at how the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is an example for us. God the Father didn't go off and say, hey, Son and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go ahead and start creating man in my own image because this is my idea and I'm going to put my stamp on it and say God the Father. No, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit had the same mind and they said, let us make man in our own image. He didn't say, let me. He said, let us make man in our own image. We need to learn from the Blessed Trinity. Our I, our pride, our self has to be bent into a zero to the point that we can say, without Christ, I am nothing. With Christ, I am a hero. Without Christ, I am a zero. And we know about John the Baptist who said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. We should stop putting the names of religious organizations after our names. Starting a ministry with our own name instead of the name of Jesus Christ and His church and the Word of God in the Bible. God the Father doesn't even have a copyright because He's a God that does not promote Himself. He promotes unity. Let us make man in our own image. When God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost appeared to Abraham in the heat of the day, in the plains of Mamre. They said among themselves, "Can we hide from Abraham what we are about to do?" And they told Abraham in unity about the time of life. When we come back, you will have a son. And God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost were there in unity. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost acted in unity. The Father sent His Son to die for us, to bring salvation through His precious blood, and healing through His stripes, and transformation through His resurrection from the dead, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit to lead us to holiness and to make us the bride of Christ. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost acted in unison. The apostles and the church in the first century acted in unison. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 3, 4, and 5, and also in 6 and 7, how the church was united. The Bible says they were one soul and one mind and one body. In Acts chapter 5, we read that when the church gathered together, they prayed, saying, "Father, we know how the Sanhedrin is threatening us, but we pray that you would give us the boldness to preach thy word." And the Bible says when the church prayed with one heart and with one soul and with one mind in unity, even as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the power of God was manifested and the place where they gathered was shaken. Why do we have worms crawling into the church, roaches flying in the church, mosquitoes biting the people in the church? Because there is no power, and there is no power because there is no unity. You want to do your own thing. You want to do your own will, not the Father's will. It is my way or the highway for you. That is not the way the Holy Spirit works. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are a spirit, God of unity. When we read John chapter 17, we see how God loves unity. Jesus prays, "Father, I will that they which thou hast given me, these people," Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, "all these apostles you've given me, and those who will believe on them," which includes us in the 21st century. Jesus is praying back in the first century, and He still prays now in heaven in glory. "Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given me be one with us. And the glory which Thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, that they may be one in us, that they may be perfected in us." And again, we go to Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible tells us, we are the bride of Christ as the church of the living God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, that we are bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. We are united. We won't be promoting ourselves. We'll be promoting Jesus Christ. Our duty is to glorify Jesus Christ, not ourselves. May God bless these words and strengthen us. Amen. We also read in Acts chapter 15, the unity of the church and the Holy Spirit in the first century church. We read in Acts chapter 15, verse 25. "And the elders in the church in Jerusalem, along with apostles in the entire church," state in Acts 15, verse 25, "it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things."
that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Focusing on verse 28, Acts 15:28. Here are the elders of the church, the apostles in the first early church, saying, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." The Holy Ghost is in support of what we are telling the church right now. And we are all in agreement. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. To the Holy Ghost and to us. Today we see in churches and everywhere all over the world, people want to do their own will. It's my way or the highway. The Bible says very clearly, what we preach to the people, what we state to the people, what we do in public as the Church of the Living God should be pleasing not only to us, but also to the Holy Spirit. If you're promulgating and if you're making statements or preaching stuff that is pleasing to you, you're serving yourself and your own lust and not Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Whatever you preach has to be pleasing to the Holy Spirit and to you, so that the pastor and the Holy Spirit are in unison, in unity. Acts 15:25-28 is a very key verse for unity, the God of unity. Acts 15:28, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." Not only to us, but also to the Holy Ghost. We found it to be pleasing. The Holy Ghost agreed with our decisions. So much confusion happens now in the church and in the family and in society because people do their own will, not seeking the will of the Lord. If what you do is not supported by the Holy Ghost, then it's a waste of time. For except the Lord build the city, they labor in vain. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "We are the body of Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." In the body, nothing is superior, nothing is inferior. The whole body communicates with each other, and the part that doesn't communicate with the rest of the body will die. And the whole body acts in unison. Let us operate as the Church of God Almighty, the body of Christ. And this is what the Bible says about the body of Christ. Starting from 1 Corinthians 12:12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in his body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Nay, and I cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division." God does not want division in the body, but wants all the members to have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We, the Church of the Living God, different members have different gifts. We need to use that all for the betterment of the body, for the benefit of the church. And that's why all of us have received gifts. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." so act like the body of Christ.
Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor. Shalom, hallelujah, shalom, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for thy words, my Lord, my Father. Thy wonderful words today. You want us to hear, my Lord, my Father, concerning thy unity, my Lord, my Father. Yes, Father, meekness, love. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you, my Lord, my Father, to continue to make us thirsty for thy word. My Lord, my Father, give us thy hunger. Always for thy word, my Lord, my Father. And you continue to bless us mightily with thy word. Yes, Father, open our whole body, soul, and spirit to thy word. Heal us from top to bottom, from inside out, my Lord, my Father. Yes, Father, continue to create thy fruits in our lips, my Lord, my Father, so we may continue to praise you for the days of our lives, my Lord, my Father. Yes, Father, we glorify thy name, that the body of Christ, New Jerusalem Church, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.